Hello, 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 and welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here. Today on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download an app, which is free, on any electronic device, and search WWGH. Or you can call in today, which is live, ask myself or my guest, Jeff Porter, today, any questions, or if you would just like to be a part of the conversation by calling 740-383-9944. If you would just like to be a part of the conversation today. Hold on. Hello, caller. Someone there? All right, maybe they'll call back. I don't know what they wanted, but we'll keep that. All right, here they come. Let's try it again. Hello, caller. You are on the air. May I help you? This is WWGH1071.com.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt your program. I won zoo tickets, sir, Friday night. I was wondering if you could leave them outside for me, and I'll stop and pick them up.
They have a specific time for you to pick those up on the door.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty, I'll call Scott in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Zoo tickets, like they always call when I'm here, right?
Yeah.
I'm knocking on the door. All right. Let's
Why do you want to interrupt our radio program?
All righty. Now, let us move right along. Okay. Now, Jeff Porter is my guest today. He is author of Expressions of the Last Days. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the last days. It is a very hot topic nowadays.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's on the news because of the weather in Afghanistan. And is there going to be a World War III? And then we have the weather really acting up, you know. They said they got a terrible snowstorm out west now. It's going to be pouring down all this snow and rain and
ice. In October,
right. And we're seasonably warm on the east.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's going to go down in the 60s because of that cold front that's coming across from California. I heard that today, too.
Well, 60s, that's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. Not for October. It really isn't. So we're just going to dive into this, Expressions of the Last Days, of course, and I will share other things with you as we go along through the show. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm just fine. I was waiting on you to talk about your sponsors, but
I pick them up. Go ahead before we get off.
You know, I always start off, if we're going to do a general talk about the last days, I always start off talking about the weather, earthquakes, tidal waves, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, floods. You imagine, everything you can imagine has been happening.
Yes.
And I think they finally, again, got the California forest fire under control. But my gosh, man, it seems like it's on fire every 5 minutes out there. And I think the biggest thing that's on my mind, as far as if you want to talk about the turmoil, is what's going on in our government, what's going on in the American people's minds about the fight between the elites and the those who are in favor of freedom, in favor of the regular Constitution, not trying to change everything. And I came to the conclusion a long time ago that the elites are interested in dismantling our government because they are a layover from the 60s. They are the hippies and the insurrectionists that existed during the 60s. That they swore that they were going to get inside the government and change it. And if they were honest, they'd be finding out that they can't find anything better. than what we had in place. It isn't perfect,
right?
By any means, not by any means, but it's the best system I think the world's ever had,
mm-hmm.
as far as freedom is concerned. If you're not getting equality, you're allowed to get in there and yell about it and try to get some equality,
right?
You know,
right.
which in a socialist government, not possible. Now, the thing that's really distressing now is, you know, as this thing has progressed, not just from the Democrats and liberals and elites and all that, but now it's broken into, like, hundreds of different factions who want favor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not possible.
Right.
You know, they think America's rich enough to feed all these different factions, and they're trying to tear down, as far as I can tell, they're trying to tear down the nuclear family. They're trying to legalize abortion to the point of, Nobody can oppose it. They're trying to turn this country into a financial disaster. And like I said, I'm believing more and more in my theory that America will have a super economic collapse, and when that happens, we will, you know, and we're talking about, you know, business is gone. Banks gone, just like Venezuela, just like Greece, and we'll have riots. That's what will happen, because Americans are not used to being inconvenienced. Well, not only are we inconvenienced during a collapse, but we are facing becoming a third world country, and that's what we would do. And so America, as far as America being in prophecy is concerned, what would happen is what Satan wants, is that America go under, because it's been mostly a Christian nation. You can't have that. You can't have the Antichrist rising to power, and you got a big, powerful nation like America being a Christian nation that would oppose him. There's no way he could rise to power. So he's endeavoring to destroy our government, destroy our way of life, so that America doesn't really exist in the last days like it does anything like now. So that's what happens, is America experiences economic collapse. The Antichrist has probably, during this whole confusion, is starting to build up his system, like with United Nations. I don't know, but it probably will be United Nations that he gets involved in, and rises up through them. And so America just kind of blends in with the 10-nation conspiracy. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake into pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it had 10 horns. It was diverse from all the others, and it had 10 horns. Now that is the 10-headed government that will rise up in the last days, and the Antichrist will be at the head of that.
Hmm.
So, I believe is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation.
Right.
The theory is that it will last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist will decide that, okay, he's going to make his move to become God to this world. And so somewhere along the line, the temple, the Jerusalem temple, will be rebuilt, Temple of Solomon. And they'll start up animal sacrifices and all that. He'll go in there and stop the sacrifices and set up his own throne in there and claim to be God. And that's when Jesus said in Matthew 24, for the true Jews there, they're not going to believe in anybody but the God of the Bible. And they're not going to change their mind about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells them to flee. And they flee into the wilderness. Now, there's a couple of theories. The one theory is that Petra, the rock city in Jordan,
right,
is where they'll go. But that's only a theory.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that for sure.
Right.
It just Revelation 12 says that they will flee into the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and that the Antichrist will become very, very angry and send his forces after them. And somehow the wilderness will swallow them up. And so the Jews will be protected for the rest of the tribulation. The rest of us, we have to face the fact that the Antichrist becomes very, very angry that some of his forces have been swallowed up in the wilderness, and so he will institute the mark of the beast, and so that he'll know who's who. So We have the Mark of the Beast in Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save you have the mark or the number of the name or in the name of the beast. The number of the beast is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 3 score, and 6 or 666. You can't buy or sell anything without the mark on your hand or in your forehead. So he'll know, the forces of Antichrist will know if you're going along with his system or not. He also, another place he says, if you're not worshiping the image of the beast, which we were talking about that thing on the internet there that looks like it could be what the image of the beast is going to be like.
Right, that 10-story high statue.
Yeah, I think that probably fit right in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I thought what's really fascinating about that statue is you go into, if you're a tourist and you want to see how this thing is, you go into this booth and it will project your image up on the beast, you know. And I thought, wow, that is really weird, man. Mm-hmm. That's part of the Antichrist.
Kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
But, you know, the march of technology is scary.
Right, it is. It is. And that's the world that we live in.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's going to be, well, tribulation world would be much different, you know.
So what do you think about this? Like I told you, I have been listening to a lot of end time shows on YouTube, even on Christian channels, you know. Rick Pearson, he does United States in Prophecy, and Erin Baxter, he does end time.
What do they say it happens to America?
I have the book here. This Seventh-day Adventist, they claim that the Pope is the beast with seven heads, Revelation 13, 1 through 10, is none other than the Roman papacy, which is the Pope.
Yeah.
Because he calls himself what? Father?
Now, I don't know. The Catholics have for a long time believed that the Pope is divine.
Yeah. God on earth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess Rome was the one who changed Saturday worship to Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, someone predicts that November the 1st, I don't know if this is going to happen, but they have predicted November the 1st that the Pope is going to come out and demand Sunday worship only.
Hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Scary stuff, man.
It is scary stuff.
It is.
It is, because how long has the Pope said that he was God on earth?
Yeah, long time.
Long time. You know, and you go back into those books that they have, this like 10 inches thick, and all that stuff is already written.
Yeah.
You know, we are the God of the people on the earth. We are Jesus Christ in the flesh. At least that's what they consider themselves. So, there's all kind of theories out there.
I don't think that the Antichrist... his identity won't be known until he starts rising to power.
If he's not the Pope.
If he's not the Pope.
Because he's already pretty powerful now.
Yeah, he's powerful, but I don't think it's a person that's in power right now. I think he'll rise to power.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. And I think the Catholic Church will become very a big part of the One World Church. Which I haven't talked about.
And they're
about
trying
yet.
To do that. Yeah, you're right, because they're trying to do that now.
Yeah.
You know.
Globalize the church.
Right.
All churches.
Right. And
so,
and that's what they're prophesying, that this is supposed to take place November 1st.
Well,
not saying it will.
We can't do any date setting. They
no,
do, but I don't.
No. We
no
don't know.
No man knows the day of the hour.
No, not the Christ is coming back, but he's supposed to. Mandatory Sunday worship only.
Yeah.
The Pope is supposed to. So, now this is somebody we've been living with a long time. And even our presidents bow to him and kiss his ring. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and are we supposed to disregard that as being Christians?
You know...
Are we supposed to accept that as okay?
An awful lot of Christianity doesn't even understand about Catholicism. You know, and Catholicism, the Catholics ruled the world back in the 1500s. They were the only religion that was allowed. And then God brought Martin Luther along, brought the Great Reformation, millions of people died as a result of standing up against the Catholic Church, but they did manage to make the Reformation work. And so we had all these other churches come out. Well, that was clear back in the 1500s, you see, and a lot of people, they think Catholics are all right, just like they think the Mormons are all right, mm-hmm. just like they think the Jehovah's Witnesses are all right, because they don't, for one thing, they don't study their Bible, apparently. And they don't know what these people believe. You know, I sit there and I had these big library of apologetics books and stuff like that, theology and so on, videos and stuff. And people sit down before they even know anything about what apologetics is about or what theology is about. They'll sit down and they'll go, oh, you shouldn't have those. Those are, you know, those occult books are bad. You shouldn't have those around. And I go, well, sometimes we have to know what the enemy is doing. We're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's devices, you know. But they absolutely, most churches these days, apologetics is a lost art. They couldn't care less, and they hate it, actually. They hate apologetics because it interferes with their little package, you know. Mm-hmm. That they want to accept everybody, and there you go with the One World Church thing, see. Well, the One World Church will rise to power on the back of the Antichrist, and eventually the Ten Horns will turn against the One World Church and destroy it.
So you think there's going to be a greater power than the Catholic Church and the Pope?
Well, the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And he will destroy the One World Church eventually.
Right.
One World Church, though, you know, it's really strange. It says that the One World Church is going to be exceedingly rich, full of rubies and gold and all that good stuff. And I can just imagine it, just what it'd be like. And they get together and have these big conventions and rallies and stuff, and probably have belly dancers or whatever. It'd be completely worldly, you know.
Right, because they consider that, you know, Revelation says, you know, I have kind of disregarded this right here too, but they keep coming back to that in the shows that I've been watching, that that it's the Pope and that the United States is going to help him do what he's supposed to do, the beast that come out of the water, the earth, coming out of the earth. It says, why wouldn't the most powerful nation in the world be, why would it not be in the Bible and in the end time? Because, you know, of its influence, its wealth, mm-hmm. its might, you know, its power and might. It says, but even more surprises await you, as the Bible reveals how the leading nation of the world came to exist and why. Then it says, read Revelation 13:11-18. Before,
what was that?
Revelation 13:11-18. They claim that that is the United States. Revelation 13.
Yeah, I know, because people keep trying to squeeze in. Not a call.
I don't know who it is. It's not important. Go ahead.
I think United States is not in Revelation because it just simply, when the tribulation gets here, it just doesn't exist, really, as a nation. It exists as a province or a place.
But this is before.
Huh?
This is before the rapture. What you're getting ready to read now.
Before the rapture.
Yeah, tribulation, I mean. Yeah, this is before. This is the beginning of a power that rises up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you have to really do a lot of, squeezing stuff in and making America fit in that, because there's nothing there that really resembles our country. You know.
This nation arises out of the earth instead of out of the water, as did the other nations mentioned in Daniel and Revelation. We know from Revelation that water symbolizes areas of the world that have a large population. The waters which thou saw, where the horse... Sorry. That's Babylon the Great, right? Mystery Babylon. Sitteth. the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, Revelation 17 and 15. Therefore, the earth represents the opposite. It means that this new nation would arise in an area of the world that had been virtually unpopulated before the late 1700s. It could not arise among the crowded and struggling nations of the world, old world. It had to come up in a sparsely populated continent. I don't know, but that Rick Pearson guy says that we are Mystery Babylon the Great. We, 53 descriptions of Mystery Babylon the Great, United States fits all 53 descriptions.
Well, I suppose you could look at it that way. I think Babylon is just a description of the world falling apart during the tribulation. Babylon, of course, was the nation that invaded Israel with Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, in charge. And so we talk about a lot of paganism and heathenism. Usually they'll say, well, Babylon is coming to do this and that. It's because they were just so pagan, so worldly, you know. And so God is going to bring all this stuff under judgment. Now, really, when it boils down to it, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. If the United States turns out to be Babylon, or if the America is still there, and if America is still here, then it will have to blend in with the 10 nations, you know, which is possible. But I think God is going to bring severe judgment on America because of abortion and homosexuality and all those terrible things that are happening, and therefore, when all the chaos, see, America is responsible for 2/3 of the world's commerce.
Bless you.
And if America goes under, it's like pulling the plug out of a bathtub, so goes the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So the world will be reeling under this economic collapse worldwide, and we'll have riots and battles and stuff. And so the Antichrist will come along just like Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, he brought about a solution to their poverty problem, and that was to fight back against the sanctions,
right,
that were against Germany, see? And this is what the Antichrist proposes to do, is to bring strong leadership, you know, fascism even, on the world to bring about order.
Mm-hmm.
But it never really does. According to Daniel, there's all kinds of wars going on through the whole tribulation because there's some nations that just don't want the Antichrist in charge. And so they're constantly fighting with him. Their nations be fighting against him. And they won't be able to win because God says, I'm going to win against the Antichrist. I reserve that victory to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming in the end.
Wow. That's good stuff.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That is good stuff. And it is like, you know, if these things are true, which the Word of God is true, and looking upon the things of the world, and, you know, that goes also to, like, the COVID-19, and they say, well, they believe that this is a forerunner of what is to come in the near future.
I believe it's a strong warning.
Yeah. Yeah, and how, like, they claim that the government is trying to make people take it, you know, instead of giving them the option. But
that gets to be really confusing.
It does, doesn't it? Because this thing is real. It's not something that they made up, I don't think. You know, people address this issue as if it was made up by the government trying to take control of the people.
I did, too. I thought that
you
for
thought
a while.
That too? Okay.
I thought that for a while because I kept asking people that worked in hospitals around here. I said, how many people you got? You got a big crowd of people in your hospital with COVID. And they said, we had one of them, I finally said, they said, well, we're not allowed to tell you. But one of them finally said, we have exactly one person that we believe has COVID in our emergency room. I said, that's it? One?
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong. I don't know what to tell you about what it is unless the government is manipulating things. you know. And I don't know whether to be in favor of these people that say, I don't want to take the vaccine, this is America, and I don't have to. And then we got the government, some parts of the government saying, we're going to mandate that, like they were going to mandate the masks. You know, and it seems to me that, you know, they're trying to boil up to a civil war.
Yeah.
You know.
Dividing, yeah, you're right. It does sound like it's creating division,
mm-hmm.
even more so, you know, than we're already divided racially in a way. You know what I'm saying? And all these things are being blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
For these last days. Okay. And they say, anti-ministry say the next thing to happen is World War III because of how Afghanistan is and this 200 million man army. Well, you only have really two countries that can produce that, and that's China and Iran, right?
Well, we have Ezekiel 38, which I believe it's interpreted correctly by the theologians these days. Hopefully it's interpreted correctly that in the last days, God's going to put a hook in this army's jaw, which will be, we think, Russia, Iran, and Iraq, and Ethiopia are going to attack Israel at a time when they're in peace. And God will bring fire and brimstone on them utterly, and an earthquake, and utterly destroy them. So, you know, and you have places where the book of Revelation says, and then one-third of mankind was destroyed,
right,
you know.
One-third, yeah.
Yeah, so, wow.
That's a lot, because you have billions of people. Like, what,
yeah.
We have 7 or 8 billion people?
I don't know how many now.
Yeah, it's about that.
So, you know.
A third of that would be, what, 2 billion? 2.5, if there were 8 billion people on the land today.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. The tribulation's going to kill a lot of people. That's why they want to believe in the rapture.
That
because
be the gone,
severe
right.
judgment coming upon the world. But what it would do if we had to stay was it would be testing our faith.
What about that scripture, Jeff? The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but unto him that endures to the end. To the end of what?
Oh, you're talking about Matthew 24?
Yeah, to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. What about that scripture? The end of what?
Well, it'd be the end of this world as we know it. You know, you've heard that kind of, that said before. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Right, right,
Well, Jesus was just trying to say that this world as it is will end. And the new era will begin. There's no end to the world. There's no total end to the world where everybody's dead. You know, there is, but, and he comes back and stops the Battle of Armageddon before it destroys everybody. Let's see. For many shall come in my name, they shall be offended. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for witness unto all nations. I don't think that's quite happened yet. Because there's places in the world I don't think that have heard the gospel. When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation, that is, the Antichrist, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That was that part where I said that the Jews will have to flee.
Right.
Into the mountains. Let him not take anything down. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him as in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them who are a child, to those give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now there's no talk of actually the end of the world, except for up here where the disciples, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Well, it's like, say, you know, it's the end of the world. It is, in a sense, the end of the world. I mean, you know, with all these terrible judgments and stuff on the world, you might as well say it was the end, you know. But Jesus comes back and stops the Battle of Armageddon and destroys the Antichrist before it's all completely
and
destroyed.
And all those who are with him, right?
Yeah.
They will be destroyed by the presence of his, by the brightness of his coming.
Yes.
So they will be dead.
Those who have followed after Antichrist,
right,
yeah.
Right. So and the church is supposed to go up the sound of the last trump, right? And
right.
When Jesus comes, all this I think is going to happen simultaneously. I'm not sure, but that's my interpretation of it. And those who are dead will not rise again until the second resurrection, right?
Right. That's the way I see it.
That's the way I see it, too. Right. So there's only going to be two resurrections. Christ is only coming back one more time,
mm-hmm.
in my understanding. But Christ says, be ready. Whether you're in the church or whether you're not in the church, be ready.
Yes.
This is a day of salvation.
These days are very difficult because it's very, very hard to find a church that's alive and not, and at least headed towards apostasy. You know, so many churches are apostate or have fallen away from the truth. Other ones are trying to, you know.
Right, because they have bought our culture.
Right.
Has invaded the church.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, and computers and iPads and the way television is these days and so on and so forth. It's
yeah,
like
where's the Spirit of God at anymore? Where does, you know, if there's no power in the church, and that is the Holy Spirit, that is
yes.
the power of the church, and if that's
the outpouring
not there,
is.
Right, then people come in and leave the same way they came. Even you, even me as a Christian, if it's not really on fire and really the truth is not being told, then I can leave there the same way I came. And,
yeah.
And we're not supposed to leave the same way that we came to church. We're supposed to get something, you know, to empower us to go to the next church service. And you are so right. There are so many people that do not want to go to church. They do not trust the church.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. You know, church can, these days, can be the most dangerous place in the world right now. You know, teaching you to end up in the lake of fire.
God forbid.
So we want to make sure that we're still walking with the Lord, whether we're in church or out of church.
Absolutely.
You know, and right. You could be out of church and be a Christian.
Yes, you can. And
you
be
know.
Obedient to the Word of God.
Yes, I've done it for long periods of time.
Right.
And it wasn't really that impossible. There were times when I got really, like, lukewarm or whatever and wasn't praying as much as I should and all that. But I would go through that when I was in church.
Right.
So, you know. But you go through, I could tell you, a real Christian is the person that goes through a lot of fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of fires, a lot of floods, and God, what God is doing is preparing you.
Yes, he is.
For what's coming.
Yes.
I don't like it any more than anybody else, you know.
To endure till the end.
Yeah.
To the end of whatever's
going
on.
But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved.
Shall be saved. There you go. That's why I said end of what? Like you said, this system, end of this era, right?
Yes.
End of these days that we know of, because it says that this earth will be consumed by fire.
That's right.
Everything in it and everybody on it will be burnt up. And then he says, John says, I looked and I saw a new heaven and a new earth descending.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The clouds.
Yes.
That's the 1,000 years that we're going to be on that earth right there.
Yeah.
For 1,000 years.
During the millennium.
Wow. Today is a day of salvation, people.
Because I had a relative say to me, I would talked about the last days a lot with her, and then all of a sudden, this is right before my mom passed away, she says, I don't believe we're in the last days. I said, why not? She goes, there's too many nice people left in the world. Well, that's not a good way to evaluate it, because nice people can still ignore God, you know.
and they
do it a lot.
And that's not funny, but I do understand where she's coming from, but according to the Bible, no. there's not so many good people or nice people left on the earth
anymore.
That's
the way we evaluate things, you know.
Yes, that's true, because we want to think that, you know, and believe that.
Yeah, if you go, you know, you're just leaving a restaurant and somebody opens the door for you. You know, a lot of people helped me out with Mom. They opened doors for me and everything, tried to help. But spiritually speaking, you know, the cult can do that. You know, anybody can be nice for a moment. A serial killer could open a door for you. So, you know, God doesn't see things the way we do.
No, he does not. No, he does not. And there are some nice people. I'm not going to say they're not. I want to consider myself as being a nice person, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I probably could be nicer. And sometimes I think I need to work on that, you know. Yeah. And cause sometimes we're just so busy and we go past people and we don't even consider, hi, how you doing to everybody that, you know, you pass. So I try to work on that also, because I'm going here and there in different directions and meeting people and greeting people and, like, coming here and on the air and interviewing different people and things. So I try to work on myself, because I think I could do better as far as being nice. But I just really wanted to share those things that were on my heart.
In a way, you can't. I don't see how a person can stick their head in the sand. And how can you not know we're in the last days? I just don't understand some people, you know, their reasoning, you know.
I think they know. I think a lot of people are nervous. There's anxiety is off the rooftops anymore.
Yeah.
Off the chart. And then you have suicide. It's risen a lot. You know, those numbers have gone up. You have domestic violence has gone up. Then you have abduction of these children is, I mean, all these terrible things are on the rise, you know. So people are looking at the weather, they're seeing everything tore
up. You're supposed to look at all these things, these global disaster that's going on right now,
right,
and say to yourself, God is trying to warn us.
Yes, he is.
He's trying to tell us that eternity is at our doorstep. It's time to repent. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and be born again before it's too late. That's right. What he's trying to tell us.
Yes, he is.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
So, you know, we can go along and have a nice, quiet world and still have people going to hell.
Yeah. Because we're nice people.
Because we're too nice to them. We don't tell them the truth.
And they may be nice people. They just may not be saved.
They're just not saved. Now, how many people do you know like that? I know quite a few.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some relatives I've got that are in that, I don't know what you call it, that middle class fantasy view or something. I don't know how to explain it. But they're not real. If you ask me, they're not really in reality. It's like I've tried to, like, take one aspect. I've told you that being in the military will change your perspective,
mm-hmm.
because you go overseas and you see all this poverty and desolation and the stench and the hopelessness of people don't even have clean water. And I said, what do they do from day to day? I mean, you know, we get up in the morning and go, oh, I got to renew my license today, and I got to go see this person and do this and do that. We go to these nice offices and get on our nice car and go here and go here. That would be absolutely impossible, an impossible fantasy for them.
Oh, yeah.
So unless you've been overseas and seen all the horrible poverty in other countries, you can't even appreciate what a great privilege it is to live in America.
Wow.
It is a great privilege.
That's true.
And all of us, you know, that were in Germany, we look at each other and say, boy, my attitude about America sure has changed. I said, I just so much love to go back home.
Wow.
It's so, there's no country like America.
That's true. And we are out of time. Jeff, let me leave this thought with you. Respect life. I value the practice of silence. Silence is the seed that helps me to understand what respect is. With the practice, I grow healthier thoughts that can nourish the whole planet. Respect life. First of all, respect your life.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day of salvation. And everyone is not going to live forever in peace. That's why we do these shows, to warn people. God says, be ready. Don't get ready. Be ready.
Yeah.
The day that the Father come, the Son cometh, no one knows the day or the hour. This show has been supported by Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio, number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement there, free produce will be this Saturday, October the 16th. It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. at the above-mentioned address for Logos Ministries, 582 Lee Street. Please share this information with someone you know who may be in need of free produce. And if you are in need, please take advantage of this opportunity. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio. The number 740-262-0939. Okay, now we have 1 minute left, Jeff. Hey. It's been real, though.
It's been a really good one. I'm glad we prayed before we started today.
Amen. Amen. Because there's just so much out there, and we have to give
people...
You can
only, like, touch on certain subjects.
Right, know? Right. Not enough time.
No.
Not enough time. And you try to give people as much clarity as we can.
No, try to uncomplicate it.
Right, because we don't know all things. Only God knows all things in the times.
Nobody
you know.
Totally understands the Bible.
Oh, no. Nor God himself.
Huh?
Nor God himself. Nobody
mean?
Completely understands God.
Oh.
And who can counsel him?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
no.
I read that this morning. And who can counsel him? Who does he go to get counsel?
He doesn't need any.
See? He omnipotent.
We see through a glass darkly.
Yes, omniscient. He knows all-knowing God, all-powerful and all-knowing God. So, next week, please tune in to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We will be doing next Tuesday singles, Choosing God's Best, and that will take place from 5:15 until 6 p.m. next Tuesday, and my regular show. Till next time, be blessed. Linda Sims.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you this morning, I did something different. Yesterday, we were outside with the protesters, so today, I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoint, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena, looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention, and if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal convention, probably the biggest